Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
How about that, Mason?
That is an impressive opener.
I mean, if you want to talk about taking all your ideas.
No, they've outdone themselves with that. They've outdone themselves with that intro. That's really impressive.
Mace, you're sticking around for a little bit.
I am. I'm going to hang out.
Listen, and I know if
pitching in on the Sliwa show.
Okay, I'm already fascinated right off the bat.
By?
That interview you guys had.
Oh, are you?
Just listening to those bits, those pieces that you played?
No, that guy knows his stuff.
Did that? Okay, so what help me kind of, I heard him a couple days ago.
Right. He was on the Joe Rogan podcast. He was fantastic.
So coming off of that, maybe that thing kind of changed my whole view on what's going on. And
did change
made
mine.
It more serious. By the way, the next day is when we were in here and the Gobert news broke.
Yep.
So like it just kind of all added to it. What did you take away from some of, I guess you could say what stood out? Because the way Ireland was saying it, kind of it feels like, okay, I know they're 30 days. We'll wait and reassess in 30 days. That's not somebody that sounds like
he's not optimistic.
We're going to be at Staples Center in 35
days. He's basically saying we're in deep.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, he's really, I mean, I think we're going to be here for a while. I think we're going to be here for a while. It's just a weird experience. Have you gone to the grocery store and stocked up on things? By the way, Adam says there were people packed into his grocery store.
Right? Over in Santa Clarita, like the Costco, out the line, all other grocery stores, people just buying up everything.
Very intelligently becoming parts of big crowds.
Can we get
right? That's immediately the first. I mean, I know you're stocking up, but you're going there with a whole bunch of other people.
Yep.
You're breaking the social distancing rule right off the bat.
So what do you do when it comes to that? Like, is there a good time to go? When do you go? If you go late at night, everything's probably already gone by then.
Right.
Okay, you go.
But you want to go when nobody else is there.
But nobody's going. I don't think you could go to Costco at 10 a.m. at any time, because that's when they open, 9 or 10.
Right.
I got to imagine the moment Costco opens, it's already slammed.
Now, are you fully stocked up?
No. Are you? You can't.
No.
You're going to Hawaii.
No. You know what I noticed I've got a lot of?
Mm-hmm.
I was looking through the cabinets last night, and there's some beans, right? Beans are good. They're
great.
Excellent source of protein.
Yep.
There are a lot of cans. You know how, like, after my grandmother passed away, we went into her basement and looked at everything, and she had, like, tons of bottles of detergent. And apparently, it looked like every time she went to the store, she just bought a bottle of detergent, just in case. Dish soap. For me, it's those green cans of Parmesan cheese. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly.
The grated Parmesan and the green.
And you just have a lot of that?
Have so much of that. Like, if that goes out of business, if Parmesan goes out of business, I am so covered.
Let me tell you what happens.
I will be selling that on the black market somewhere if you need Parmesan.
I was going to say, if everything else, if we run out of everything else, and you're obviously just have a ton of Parmesan
tons
cheese.
Tons of Parmesan.
That's a huge bargaining tool right there.
Opening a little shop.
Listen, all those people that went out and got the pasta.
Right.
They got
right. They got
stuff.
The sauce. They got the Prego dress.
The one thing to kind of take it to another. If they have that for a month straight,
can't live without me. You can't. I am your Parmesan guy.
Oh, that's the one thing that you have.
I use that more than salt. Like, that's my primary spice. I put that on everything. I use it more than salt and pepper. I use Parmesan on everything.
Before things got serious, okay? And when I say that, I'm not saying I wasn't taking it serious, but this week, for me, it just went to a whole different level.
Well, the night we were here together, the Rudy Gobert thing was the moment when it was like, this is like, because remember, the league then suspended it almost immediately after the Gobert thing.
So I thought it would be interesting.
Honestly, the medical guy who ran up to the officials.
Yep.
That was the moment when I thought this is about to get bad. It was when that guy went in. Because I knew at that point, they said that a couple guys were sick. I'm like, oh, look, this guy got a positive coronavirus test.
That was Wednesday, right?
That was Wednesday.
Okay, you know what's crazy, Mace? Tuesday. Just Tuesday. You're at Staples Center. 20,000 people.
Yes.
I mean, and like,
a week ago tonight at the Milwaukee game.
That's right.
It seems like
Friday,
forever
Sunday,
ago.
And Tuesday.
Yeah.
But that's a crazy thing to see how quick all the sports just canceled.
Yep.
Today is just Friday. Tuesday, you had a full house at Staples Center, Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets. But when it got, I thought it would be entertaining on Monday. Was it Monday? I think it was on
Monday. We had fun. Remember, we had just beaten
Tuesday. I thought it'd be entertaining on Tuesday to go to Costco.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, all right, well, you know, I needed to go to Costco anyways.
Yeah, sure.
So I go to Costco not really knowing what to expect at all. And right from the start, I can't find a parking spot. I'm like, okay, all right. Everybody calm down here. I can't get a cart. Literally, I can't. I got to follow people who have carts to their to their car to get in their trunk to, you know, unload and everything.
Right.
But I was kind of stupid about the whole thing because I went to Costco not to go stock up for, you know, what could be something hopefully we don't get to. I just went to Costco to go get some things.
Right.
I went and got, okay, I got
just
some
regular
eggs,
stuff.
I got
yeah.
some milk. Like I literally
You weren't
got,
stocking up.
I wasn't stocking up. I get to the areas where, you know, where the water is and everything else. And it did look like a zoo. So everything that people have said, but I think today it's different than
By the
it
way,
was
the
just
water,
3 days ago.
Don't we just have Don't does everybody
filter.
Just not have
just
running
filter.
Water?
Just a filter right there. Like, that's all you need.
That's not like end of the world stuff. That's just like fill up the glass at the sink.
I wonder, what is the thought process there? Do they think the like, is the thought process water is going to go? I mean, a filter. That's all you need.
That's
just
all you need, a filter, right.
I mean, what we should be buying up, what you should be buying up.
Water filters.
Jesus, the water filter.
Water filters,
Another
that's the other
bargaining
thing.
Chip.
It's an easy get. And yeah, I the amazing thing is.
So I'm not prepared just to answer that.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
I'm not either. Other than Parmesan. Other than Parmesan. Yeah, no, it's intensely weird. And, you know, now there's a state of emergency. And, you know, the truth is, the thing that concerns me the most is my mom and my not stepdad, Leo. Because they are 77 and 100%. 79, respectively. So, you know, a lot of the people I work with here wouldn't be in the high risk category, but I think about them.
But you know that's what it comes down to. Like I mentioned this weekend, I'm going to go see my family.
Yeah,
right? I haven't seen them. But part of me is like, all right, you know, my mom is 72 years old.
Right.
I'm just, you know, thinking off the top of my head, just being as precautionary as possible. Being
no, this
as safe
is a real
possible.
This is a real question.
Okay, so I was at games.
You were at games,
right? So I'm at Staples Center.
Correct.
I'm in front of, you know, big audiences that are all mingling and mixing. You go down to the media room. How many people do you say hi to?
A ton,
right? And this, I have no idea where anybody else is.
No.
And there's a case where Rudy Gobert, an NBA player, you know, passed to Donovan Mitchell, if
yep.
that's what happened. So, and now it's in the NBA part of things.
Yep.
So, you know, you kind of, you second guess
well,
a little bit.
Well, then you wonder, like one of the considerations for, you know, I'm going on vacation next week. One of the considerations was, well, I'll go see my mom. And then I thought, you know what? I was just at these games. I've been at LA Live. I've been out in public a lot. Do I want to be the one that brings it to my mom?
And by the way, how can't that be in the back of your mind?
Yeah, it is.
You know
is.
What I mean? Like just based upon everything that you're watching. And I mentioned this to you earlier. I don't know how deep you're going into this. I'm spending...
You're down the rabbit hole.
What did I do today? I spent all day today just following this stuff. I don't know how you don't. I mean, and it's not a good thing. It's probably not a healthy thing.
No, I think it's not a healthy thing. I think it's making everybody paranoid. I've gotten paranoid about it now.
But you know what? That
I hear somebody cough, and I'm like, it's like run for the hills.
Me today at Starbucks.
You heard somebody cough?
I sneezed.
You sneezed. Oh.
Mace, if you would have seen the look on people's faces.
Oh, I can only imagine.
And in my head, I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? I mean, I covered up. I made sure, but
still.
I got one dirty look. I will not forget this girl's look.
Right.
She looked at me like, but by the way, I don't blame her. If I was sitting where she was and she sneezed.
You would be thinking the same thing.
Be like, cover it up, go outside,
yeah,
go home.
Yeah. No, I mean, these are real. This is real stuff that people are thinking about right now. And we've all become paranoid. And honestly, there's a fine line that's impossible to get between safety and neurosis, right? Mm-hmm. We want to all be safe, but we don't want to be so weirded out that we can't function on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you're on the down the rabbit hole guy.
Well, here's what. I'm definitely taking more of an approach of just, okay, bunker down.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go out. Don't do things in public. You know, yeah. Don't do any of that stuff. Where 3 days ago, 2 days ago, I wasn't thinking like
right,
that.
Right, no, you were at a game Tuesday.
And even as soon as maybe yesterday.
I mean, think about it. You were at a game Tuesday, and mm-hmm. Wednesday night, the Rudy Gobert thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, the Tom Hanks thing.
That one hit you.
I was like, Tom Hanks?
Mm-hmm.
These are like, the part of it that's weird to me is like, so they're talking about the president of Brazil or the health minister from England. Or
had it with the president. Yep.
Right. And I'm like, this is happening to people who live like elite lives, who are not mm-hmm. really in the crush of the public. Like Rudy Gobert travels through his own private terminal. They're not flying commercial.
100%.
And if it can happen to people like that, then the rest of us.
No question about it. Right. I mean, just think of that arena.
Right.
How many people are in that arena, you know, and how it got contracted. But I'll say this. Look, do I feel, I will say that I'm not, what I'm most curious about, Mace, is how kind of people react. Right? Because the hysteria, people panicking is more dangerous than I think the actual, this is just my complete just assumption, right?
Right.
The virus, hopefully over time, they figure out a way, okay, the whole world is trying to learn it right now.
So yeah,
You got so many resources and money going towards figuring out that issue right now.
Right.
It's kind of in the meantime.
Yeah.
It's the people and it's the panicking and it's like everybody hopefully.
Right.
Things are under control.
Well, we're adjusting to a new normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the next, you know, week, we're going to sort of adjust to, hey, this is what our new reality is. And the big question remains, what is Alan Sliwa going to do on the radio every night for 2.5 hours with no games? What are you going to do, man? You've got to be inventive. You've got to be creative. You've got to be out of the box. You need a big bag of BS. Fun games.
Here's the thing.
What are you going to do?
I've always been known as just like the funny guy, right?
Yeah, that is your hallmark.
We talked about
this.
So just the opportunity to work on so many bits that I have, you know. And
do you have any bits planned for tonight?
So many. I mean,
do you have one bit, like one bit a night?
I have.
That's a good start. Just one bit.
That's actually a good idea, right there.
Yeah. And bit of the night.
That lets you know that I don't have any planned for tonight.
Just come up with one bit.
One bit a night.
Yeah.
I'm on it.
Yeah.
I'm on it.
Like, okay, here's a bit. Uh-huh. We'll do a bit right now.
Let's do it, yeah.
This is live radio. We're going to do a bit.
Yeah, just in L.A.
Okay, so we used to do a bit called Sports Graffiti.
Okay.
Okay. You take callers, but they're only allowed to say one sentence mm-hmm. when they come on the air.
Mm, I like that.
Okay, one sentence.
I like it already.
One sentence only.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be about anything. It can be about us or sports or the Lakers. It can be a prediction about what's going to happen. It can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you rifle through the call, so it's only one sentence and one sentence only.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to try this for real?
Yeah.
Do you guys have a break or is this?
No.
You have no breaks.
We pretty much have no breaks.
There are no breaks.
We have one break this hour. So, you know, whenever we or whenever you're good to break, we can just break. As long as you break before 7, we're good.
Okay. So think about this, people. If you're listening right now, one sentence only. It can be about sports. It can be about anything. It could be about what you're hearing right now on this show. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. We call this Sports Graffiti, one sentence and one sentence only. So this is a bit.
Okay.
Okay? And this is how bits get started, mm-hmm. right? You start a bit.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I can pretty much try anything right now up until 9 o'clock for quite the amount of time.
Right. Sports Graffiti is one way to go.
Okay.
What about games? Do you have games?
Well, here's I'll throw another idea out there. I take a lot of calls, as you know.
I know.
Right? So maybe there's something where I'm asking listeners, all right, give me an idea for the show.
Just let them ring.
And as good as the idea is, I let them kind of like give their pitch. This is what you should do for tonight's show.
Oh, sure. Yeah. They call that crowdsourcing.
Okay.
You're crowdsourcing. You're saying, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. Do you have any ideas? It's called crowdsourcing.
That's one way to put it.
Right? Isn't that essentially what you mean?
I wasn't putting it that way.
Yeah. Because that's what I heard when you said people call in with ideas for the show.
They're pitching in. Let them have a pitch.
I'm clueless.
I got three
what about
sheets
you?
That I can get into and two interviews
coming up. You ready for Sports Graffiti? One sentence only. Sports Graffiti, go.
Starting Monday, lockdown.
Lockdown, thank you. Sports Graffiti, go.
Howie Mandel and his fist bumps were correct.
Sports Graffiti, go.
Is that Ireland? It sounded like Ireland.
Barack Obama needs to make the speech.
Okay, Sports Graffiti, go. One sentence.
Should be called a bit of Sleeva.
Say it again.
A bit of Sleeva.
I don't know what that means.
A bit of Sleeva?
A bit of Sleeva. Sports Graffiti, go.
Quick pitch for Sleeva's new show after Daylight Saving, Sunset with Sleeva.
Sunset with Sleeva, I like it. Sports Graffiti, go.
Tom Brady and the Niners, let's go.
All right, there you have it. That's called Sports Graffiti.
Mace, that's genius.
Now, here's the thing about Sports Graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to keep it.
No, that's yours.
That's ours.
100%.
Because I just thought of Sports Graffiti again, and I think that's coming back to Mason and Ireland.
Well, let me throw this at you.
Okay. You come up with your own stuff. You don't steal our 100%, stuff.
100%. Okay. But if there's a time...
It's a loner bit.
If there's a time that you want to lease it out,
yeah,
you want to lease it out,
right?
But I have to find something.
Yeah,
I have to find something for you, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
But maybe it's one of those where you say, Sleeva, this is yours for just tonight, and then it's gone.
Okay, well, it's gone right now.
How about the open? There was more Mason in that open than me. You know that, right?
The open is killer, man.
Mario's open.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's a masterpiece. All right, that is it for me. I'm checking out.
Thank you.
Put in an extra 20 minutes.
Safe travels to Hawaii.
Thank you very much. Everybody be safe, and I'll be back a week for Monday. Ireland will be back with Momo Monday at 2:55 sharp. Sleeva, good luck.
Thank you.
I've tried to do my best for you.
I'm going to wait till you get to your car, right? You'll text me?
Yeah, hold up. Wait for me to get to my car so I can listen. See you in a week. Mason and Ireland back Monday, 2:55 sharp, 710 ESPN.
How about Steve Mason jumping in there? Look at Mace handling his work. All right, so let me just say this about Mason. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Just quick rundown of the show. Bruce Arthur, Toronto Star sports columnist. He'll hop on in the 8 o'clock hour, and we will talk about... He's got a very interesting article on Rudy Gobert and how... Rudy Gobert, just that whole predicament situation might be a blessing in disguise just because it forced us all to educate ourselves a little bit more. So I want to get his thoughts on that, on his article. And then Kirk Morrison, obviously part of the 710 ESPN crew, co-host of the Rams pre and post game. Are we doing some NFL? Is that what's going on next week? That might be the only, from a sports perspective. I know UFC supposedly is still going on, and NFL free agency will start next week. So we'll get his thoughts on what's going on with some of the local teams, what's going to happen, his thoughts on Tom Brady. Is the draft going to stay on for April 23rd? So we'll hit on that. And I want to do this with listeners as well. So I wasn't kidding when I was mentioning this to Mace. This is new for all of us. Like, honestly, it is. Just on a day-to-day basis, it's difficult. I don't walk into, you know, when I left the show yesterday, I don't really have an idea what I was going to do today. And I say that specifically because I'm kind of waiting to see, all right, what's some of the news going on? What are some other stories that are going to come out of this? And so this is new. So I'll be as upfront and honest. I have a whole rundown of things that I want to get into tonight, and I'm going to get into it. And like I mentioned, I got a couple of interviews I'm going to do as well. But I mentioned it to Mason Ireland, and I genuinely mean this. If there are certain topics you guys want me to get into, if there are certain things you guys want me to do on the show, if there are certain things you guys want me to hit on, they could be stuff that have everything to do with sports. They could be stuff that is maybe more associated with what's going on right now and the epidemic that, you know, obviously we're all facing and we're all trying to get accustomed to, which I think is going to be impossible to do so. But you could call in at any time and be a part of the broadcast. That's one of the great things of doing a solo show. I'm doing a solo show. And a lot of that is on purpose because I can have great interaction with listeners. I can have fantastic interaction on topics. I can go back and forth with listeners. We could take our time. There's no agenda in today's day and age to do a sports show at a time where there are no sports. That obviously is not written. That's not a blueprint that we have. So why don't we just make the show about topics that we all feel like are entertaining, be creative with some of the topics. And like May said, maybe I need a couple bits here. I'll work on some bits. But definitely one of the things that I want to do is bring that up and keep that as one of those things for the show that you guys can hop in on at any time. Okay, so this is how I'll start things off here. There are a few different things. I thought with the NBA season kind of coming to a complete halt right now. The NBA season, literally as we sit here, we have no idea when the NBA season is going to be back. We got a chance yesterday to listen to Adam Silver, and Adam Silver gave his thought process of, okay, in 30 days we're going to reassess everything and then we'll figure it out from there. If I was trying to be as optimistic as possible, Brad Turner hopped on yesterday. Brad Turner talked about how players of the Lakers came away from a conference call with GM Rob Pelinka, Frank Vogel. The impression NBA owners want to finish the 2019-2020 regular season and postseason, even if it goes as far as late as June, July, or August. So keeping that in mind, I'm just trying to think here. From an optimistic perspective, we have no idea if there's going to be a season, and I think at this point, it's literally, we just kind of bring these up as topics, but I'll say this. We know that there was 19 games left in the regular season. So I don't think anybody thinks the regular season's going to come back. Mason Ireland were saying this, and John was like, no, if the season does get going again, they'll probably jump right into playoffs. Right, they'll probably hop right into the postseason, maybe have some type of training camp. If basketball is back in, let's say, 60 days, that's May 12th. If basketball is back in 90 days, that's June 12th. And I'm just using the dates. If I'm using Adam Silver's timeline from yesterday, that will kind of reassess everything in 30 days. Typically, playoffs are 60 days long, so it starts from mid-April to mid-June. I feel, and I'm not one to think that, you know, the NBA, no matter what happens the rest of the season, no matter what happens in the regular season, if a regular season happens or if postseason happens, I think it's tough to find a predicament where there's actually going to be fans at games just because this is the new norm right now. This social distance thing that they're talking about, that's a real thing. And I kind of joke around with the guys that I go down a rabbit hole and I'm spending probably way too much time on just getting as much information as I can about the coronavirus and where it came from and how it started and just everything else between there. One of the most effective things that anyone can do other than washing their hands and, you know, like they say, if you sneeze or you cough, obviously covering your mouth. But one of the most effective things is just not being around other people. So being in a packed arena, and I look back at it now and just think on Tuesday, we were at Staples Center with 20,000 fans. On Sunday, we were there for Lakers and the Clippers. On Friday, we were there, Lakers-Bucks. There's obviously been a ton of events, you know, across the country where we've been right there in front of fans. I don't feel like that part's going to be coming back for a long time. I feel like that fan experience probably goes away for a long time. And that's if, you know, the season actually ends up happening. And I just bring that up. Part of the reason why I bring that up is this. I bring it up because it's like you're trying to be as optimistic and think, okay, well, if in 30 days they reassess everything, let's say 90 days from now we're back. I feel that they can, if the goal is to try and get a NBA season finished this year and crown an NBA champion, you know, today it feels like, oh, okay, this could be realistic. Only question is you kind of start going down that path of not having any idea what's to come. That's where you kind of start, I guess, creating more questions than answers in your head. Adrian Wojnarowski, who we've heard a lot from over these last couple of days, I thought had some just kind of good insight of how the NBA specifically is and the players are handling the situation.
There's probably a whole second wave of testing and possible positive testing for the coronavirus that the league's bracing for. And, you know, now you've got, at the very least, the players who competed against the Jazz in the past week who are being tested. And then those players who competed against those players who competed against the Jazz. And so there's certainly a ripple effect of that. And, you know, that's what the league's going to have to face here, is not just the possibility of players testing positive, you know, from this past week's action into next week. What happens in 3 weeks or a month when that continues to happen? And teams and players have to potentially self-quarantine again, when maybe you would like to be ramping up the season and getting teams back in the gym and practicing? You know, those are all the challenges that the league has to face. What they're telling teams and players now is to stay in your cities. This isn't time to go on vacation and leave, and try to keep the groups of players contained to their, you know, around their team environments.
All right, that's Adrian Wojnarowski on the Get Up. You're listening to KSPN Los Angeles. So Woj has been doing, just kind of listening to him and his insight, I think has been fantastic. Obviously, anytime Woj comes up, I try to get as much insight from him, because he's getting a lot of this information directly from owners, GMs, agents, whatever the case is. But that's how the players are handling the coronavirus. Okay, let's find some positives to this whole thing. You know what other players are doing, and I think it's been pretty, pretty outstanding. So Kevin Love donated $100,000 of his own money to support arena workers. Kevin Love, obviously a part of the Cavs. Blake Griffin of the Detroit Pistons is doing the same. Kevin Love was the first to do it, so I think it's going to start this trickle effect, which is, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, if you think about all the different people that are going to be affected by, just on a day-to-day basis, we're talking about just from the hotels, and then you think about people for parking eight. Or this whole LA Live right now, ghost town. A Friday night in March in LA Live, trust me, and I know many of those who are listening, it's never a ghost town. There's restaurants full, Yard House, Tom's Urban, whatever the case is, there's always people around LA Live. You got some kind of event going on at Staples Center. It could be the LA Kings, the Clippers, the Lakers. It's a complete ghost town. So we know that this just affects an incredible amount of people. And I thought some of the action from players. So first it was Kevin Love, donates $100,000. Then it was Blake Griffin, the Detroit Pistons, does the same thing. And then kind of a surprise one there, Zion Williamson, covering the salaries of Pelicans arena workers for the next 30 days. How about that? Think about that for a second. Even the Zion part of it, you know, I love the Zion part, not because, maybe because he's just one of the younger players, right? And don't get me wrong, I think his shoe deal with Jordan Brand is $75 million or something like that. So I'm not saying that the guy, obviously doesn't have the money, doesn't have the finances to do it, but that doesn't mean he has to do it. That doesn't mean every single player out there is going to do it. But that's something that he's specifically doing, along with Kevin Love and along with Blake Griffin. Those are just a few of the names, and I'm sure there's going to be more names that come out. And let's not forget Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban He announced the night the season was suspended that he'd make sure arena workers were paid through the stoppage. And what I think this is doing, oh, how do I forget this? Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Milwaukee Bucks, he's doing something similar. And I think what this has kind of started is, you know, a trickle effect, but in a good way. And in a time like this, you know, we spent a lot of time, just Masters were postponed today. Yesterday, all the other leagues that were postponed, NASCAR is postponing things. It's so easy to just look at that part of it and just say, all right, well, man, we don't have sports right now. Hopefully everything gets figured out. Hopefully everybody is safe in the quickest amount of time possible. But just kind of seeing some of these players step up, you got to love that. You really do. So when Woj is talking about what some of the players, how they're handling the coronavirus, how they're handling the time off, well, that's what those players are doing. I also want to mention, too, the Atlanta Hawks committed to take care of their arena workers as well. The Washington Wizards in the NHL, the Devils, the Sharks, the Predators, the Detroit Wings, Anaheim Ducks, the Maple Leafs, Capitals, Tampa Bay Lightning, Philadelphia Flyers will plan to pay stadium staff affected by these stoppages. And then really actually what this was leading me towards from the beginning, there was an article that came a little bit earlier out today. According to Kyle Goon and Merjam Swanson of the OC Register, Lakers, Clippers, Kings, and AEG are finalizing details of a plan that would compensate hundreds of part-time and contract workers who staff Staples Center's biggest events. It's a measure that could help concerns of most vulnerable workers. Will keep a steady income during the NBA, NHL, and event shutdowns due to the coronavirus outbreak. I guess you can say start a show with highlighting that, because we have got such negative news over these last couple of days, and I get it. I understand why we've got that news, and I've been one as well to, you know, sit here. I'm sure there's probably many a times where I'm hopping on the mic and, you know, you're trying to be as positive as possible. You're trying to come up with ideas and things like that. But at the end of the day, the news obviously has been nothing but downer after downer. And to hear some of that news today, I thought it was fantastic. Carlo, who handles our social media, just handed me his phone. Warriors to donate $1 million to employees. Warriors ownership, players, and coaches to contribute $1 million to disaster relief fund for Chase Center employees, the team announced. That's big time. You know the best thing about this? I don't want it to be, you know, you don't want it to be for these reasons, but it's almost like... you know, there's got to be some competition in this as well. What I mean by competition is there's probably other owners out there or teams out there saying, okay, that's what they're doing. Awesome. We're going to do that as well. And maybe they do it a little bit differently. But at the end of the day, what is it doing? It's just doing some kind of good to those that are out there that are obviously affected by it. There's a lot to, you know, figure out. There's a lot of cleaning up, and it's going to take a long time. It's Dr. Michael Osterholm, which was on with Mason in Ireland, just listening to that conversation with Mason in Ireland, you know, this could very well be something where I'm sitting here 90 days from now and sports still aren't going on. And if that's the case, then you know the type of effect that's going to have on every industry. You know, sports is just one industry. But the trickle-down effect that comes with all that is obviously we're still kind of learning as we go. All right, Woj on Get Up as well kind of continues the conversation. Everyone looking at the leader of the NBA, Adam Silver.
The league's owners, the general managers, the front offices, they're really looking to Adam Silver and the league office for direction right now, and really leaning on them for, you know, understanding the latest with the coronavirus, what this all is going to mean financially for the NBA short-term, long-term. And this is something that if the NBA is going to get through this, there's going to have to be tremendous cooperation among the teams and owners, the front office, the Players Association. And there may have to be a lot of creativity as we get deeper into the spring if there's a way to still salvage this NBA season, have some semblance of a playoffs, and to crown a champion.
So the most important thing is everything gets figured out, not just here in the States, but just in the world. But you do know if you are playing games like what was you saying, in 60 days or 90 days or whatever the case is, okay, well, that the greatest thing about all that is not the sports part, not that we got our games back or Lakers are going to go for an NBA Finals run or whatever the case is. What it more means is, okay, then the world has control over something that, you know, they don't currently have control over. So that's the most positive thing that could come out. You know, when the games are back, then there'll be some normalcy, and that's what I think everybody's looking for, and that's what I think everybody's hoping for. But as of right now, that's not the case. And as of these last 48 hours, 72 hours, that has completely not been the case, but that's a new norm for right now. I want to play when we come back. By the way, Kirk Morrison coming up at 7:30. So we'll talk some NFL at 7:30. But I had some topics from Twitter. Got the LA fans out there, Laker fans out there, working on some topics that I thought were interesting. I want to get into a couple of them, specifically one that was on the injuries. If the NBA does get started up again, what happens to some of these players? That can be kind of a fascinating thing. Players that we didn't expect to be playing this year to actually potentially be back if the NBA comes back. So we'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. You know, somebody had put something out on Twitter. And I want to kind of throw this out there real quick, because I was just hitting on it. We were talking about what is the just the different players and the different organizations that are contributing, right? They're trying to help the actual league or the staff or the team or whatever the case is. Somebody put on there, do the Lakers and other NBA sports teams in general have a responsibility financially to support their hourly, part-time, and full-time arena workers? It's a fair question to ask. It's a fair question because it's not like there's 100 players that came out today and said, hey, I'm going to do this. And it's not like 100 teams just came out today and said, you know what, we're going to make sure that we handle everything, every security guard, every parking attendant, every you guys know what I'm talking about. You go to Staples Center, you see all the different workers that are there. Is it their responsibility to do it? I would say that it's not their responsibility. No, they don't have to do it. They don't have to do anything, right? But is it the right thing to do? No question about it is. I mean, one of the best things that I've had the opportunity to talk about over the last 3 days was the last segment that I just did, just kind of listing down what Giannis is doing and what Kevin Love is doing and what, you know, some of these other athletes are doing and then what some of these other teams are doing. And I just got a $1 million being donated by the Golden State Warriors. It's a fair question. No, they don't have to do it. But should they do it? Of course they should do it. You know, this is one of those things where anything that you're accustomed to should just go out the window, whatever it is. Doesn't matter what you're accustomed to. Doesn't matter what we've seen in the past. Like, these times are not, we don't have a blueprint of, let's look back to when this happened or when that happened. Obviously, that hasn't been the case. One of the things, too, this is on more of a college level. So from an NBA level, to answer that question and put a bow on it, I definitely think, you know, it's a beautiful thing when they do it. They don't have to do it, but they should do it. But one of the things in college basketball, and this was a lot of things that was brought up, and this is a positive one as well, for a time where there hasn't been all that many positive things to hit on. But I don't know if you guys saw this, that NCAA grants eligibility relief for all Division I student athletes in spring sports. So why is that a big deal? That's a big deal because if you're a senior out there that didn't get a chance to play in the tournament, if you're a senior out there that had a chance to be a part of March Madness and now that opportunity is gone because the event is canceled, it's one of those things where, all right, you know what, maybe there is some light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe you could be a part of a tournament next year. And this isn't just basketball. I think it was all spring sports. They're still trying to figure out winter sports, and I'm sure they'll come up with something. Dickie V, we all know Dick Vitale, obviously been with ESPN for a number of years. He's synonymous when it comes with college basketball. Dickie V was on Get Up a little bit earlier. He was reacting to some of the cancellations from the NCAA. He had some ideas, and it wasn't canceling the tournament. Here's Dick Vitale.
Why not follow the pattern of Adam Silver, who's a brilliant, brilliant leader? I mean, the guy's a brilliant leader. He's educated, certainly at Duke, and he has that great education, but he also had a doctorate of leadership ability working with David Stern. And I thought his decision to postpone, to say, we'll revisit it in 1 month. What would have been wrong doing that? To revisit it. Maybe then, step one, have a blue ribbon panel of all the great coaches sitting, brainstorming, trying to analyze and figure out how we can possibly save this season if word comes down, obviously, that the disease has been under control. If it's not, obviously, you got to cancel. But I think, why not postpone for a month and sit there? My heart bleeds for all those kids that wanted that one shining moment. I think about the coach at Liberty, coach at East Tennessee State, Richie McKay, and Coach Forbes, with 30 games, a special moment. I think about the kids at Dayton Greeny having a magnificent, magical year that they may never ever duplicate. Obi Toppin could have become a household name. I think about the seniors that busted their guts so much. You know, the Peyton Pritchard from down there at Oregon. I think about Miles Powell, who you mentioned. I think about guys like Marcus Howard and all those seniors. A kid by the name of Killian Tilly, who was injured so much as a senior at Gonzaga. Those kids not getting a chance for this magical moment after they sweat like crazy. I say this, Greeny. A suggestion. Number one, they should have the selection. Announce the teams that would have been in the tournament, even if it's not going to be played. And then step number two, take all those kids, especially the seniors, and say to them, we are going to grant you, the NCAA, another year of eligibility, and it's up to you if you want to come back or you want to leave. But I think that's the right thing to do. And then go to the spring sports. All those kids should have another year added to their eligibility and not be denied. I just feel strongly about this. Obviously, health and safety must be the number one priority. There's no doubt about that. And for that, I salute them. But I think rushing to judgment as they did, I look back and think that they could have waited just a little bit longer, had time on your side to see what would be transpiring.
What do you think of that? What do you think of Dickie V right there kind of making the comparison to Adam Silver? 877-710-ESPN. Do you think the NCAA did the right thing by canceling this thing, or do you agree with Dickie V? Kind of kick the can down the road and reassess it in 30 days, the way Dickie V is saying. By the way, I get what he's trying to – I get the thought process there. The thought process is, and I don't think anybody believes that in 30 days sports is going to be back. We know right now it's get as many people as you can – as far away from each other as possible. Don't have these big events. I think in LA and the state of California right now, biggest event you can have is 250 people. Imagine March Madness at one of these big arenas. First of all, I definitely agree with the Selection Sunday part of it. The Selection Sunday of still kind of having that, and I think that's gaining some momentum. Jay Billis mentioned it as well. To just get folks to, maybe see, man, look where our school would have been. You know what? We got into the tournament. And to see what seed you would be and everything else, there's no harm in that. That's obviously all done. That's not people gathering or anything like that. But the part of saying that the NCAA should have done a better job on this specifically because you canceled the tournament that you could have potentially revisited in 30 days or 45 days or 60 days or whatever the case is. Yeah, I get it. I understand that part. Jay Billis, who was on the Sedano show, he kind of hits on the same thing from an NCAA perspective as well, talking specifically of the NCAA leadership.
I think like most of us on Wednesday night when the NBA suspended play, you thought, okay, well, that means college basketball is going to suspend play tomorrow, that there's going to be no games played, and the NCAA will follow suit right after that with the tournament. And the NCAA had already said, made a statement saying that the tournament on Wednesday, the tournament would continue, but there wouldn't be any spectators for the NCAA tournament starting the next week. But it wasn't coordinated with the conferences, so the conferences played Wednesday night with fans there, and it just was an odd look that NCAA members would be playing with fans when the NCAA office said no fans. Would it have been better if they would have, if the Big East would have canceled early? Of course it would have been. That, I think, pointed up sort of the lack of coordination from the governing body on down. That in my judgment, that's the job of Mark Emmert and his organization, is to provide their member institutions and the conferences with the appropriate information so that all of this could be coordinated and that everyone acts in concert. It doesn't mean the NCAA can require the conferences to take action, but that's what leadership is. It's using appropriate influence. And it's hard for me to justify that when the NCAA is saying, look, the NCAA is the member institutions. Well, then why aren't you coordinating with the member institutions? Why aren't you sharing better information? And why didn't you notify them when you made the decision for no spectators at the NCAA tournament? The conference commissioners were not told that. They found that out at the exact same time that you and I did. And I, frankly, I find that a failure in leadership.
So the NCAA, I think, is the one of, you know, the sports that I would say I kind of walked away with most questions about. I was talking about it yesterday where the Big East had a game and they canceled at halftime. The fact that they had a game and it went to halftime. And I'm not saying that, you know, everybody's got to run this perfect blueprint in this predicament situation, because how can you? And I know that there are so many more things involved that I don't understand, or others don't understand what happens behind the scenes, the type of information that you're getting. You're worried about what certain states are doing. Like, there's a lot of different variables that come into this. But I agree with both Jay Billis on, from the leadership of the NCAA, a lot of questions kind of came up with them that, all right, NBA was taking swift action, or it made more sense what the NBA was doing. I did think the NCAA was a step or two behind. And then Dickie V's idea of, man, if you only just don't cancel everything yet, maybe you can do the tournament in May. I don't know. Would they do it in June? I don't have an answer, but at least you don't have to cancel the tournament as a whole. That was Dickie V's idea. But still do the that Selection Sunday. Why not do that Selection Sunday? By the way, I got to read off a quick tweet. Sham Sharanaya of The Athletic. Toronto's Serge Ibaka has tested negative for coronavirus, sources tell The Athletic, NBA, and the stadium. Ibaka defended Rudy Gobert throughout Jazz-Raptors game on Monday, leading to testing of Toronto players Wednesday night. So some good news right there. A player that was, you know, obviously guarding Rudy Gobert throughout that game, Serge Ibaka, tested negative. So some good news on that front. We're going to switch gears. We're going to talk some NFL when we come back. Kirk Morrison, we'll be shooting him a call and talking about what next week's going to be like. So sounds like free agency is going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen to the NBA draft or the NFL draft. That's supposed to be in late April. We'll get into all that coming up next. Stay right here. Sleeve Show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back. A 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
All right, the man that's going to update us on everything going on in the football world, Kirk Morrison, the Kirk Morrison. What's going on, Kirk? How you doing? Can you hear me there, Kirk?
Yeah, I hear you good, man. How you doing, man? What's going on?
Not much, man. What's going on with you?
Not much. Friday nights, man. You already know. It's been a crazy week for us, right?
Well, I appreciate you hopping on. Tell me about the week. Just your I guess you could say from your perspective. Just what's this week been like for you? I mean, we spent so much time. I was doing it with Mesa and Ireland, and we're all kind of reflecting on the last 48, 72 hours. What's this week been like for you?
Well, I think honestly, it started for me because, you know, Keyshawn was out this week. He died over in Bristol.
Yep.
So, you know, got Bristol calls. And so for me, it was like literally Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I was in the morning, but it was coming off
probably, I think LeBron James's like signature weekend as a Laker, right? Mm-hmm. In the time that he's been here, he had two of the most outstanding performances, you know, against the Bucks on that Friday, a week ago today. And then Sunday, the game against the Clippers, their first win over the Clippers this season. And so earlier in the week, that's what really all the craze is about. You know, LeBron James inserting himself in the MVP conversation and really maybe as a favorite in many people's eyes, right? And then it just, from then, it just, everything turned, right? It was like the highest of highs. And then all of a sudden, you know, with the kind of the progression of what's been going on outside of basketball, it just, we didn't know if it was going to be this way, but man, by Wednesday afternoon, I think from being on top of that mountain in Los Angeles, it just came tumbling and caving all the way down. And that's kind of how these last couple of days have been, just pure, it's more fear of the unknown.
Of course.
Right? Like it's fear of the unknown. I wouldn't say it's more panic, but it's fear because honestly, we don't know where to go from here because we have never been here.
You know, Kirk, when you put it that way, when you kind of, I almost forgot, and not that I forgot, but you know, you just haven't thought about it. Sunday was 5 days ago. You know, that win against the Clippers, exactly. Right? And it was, you know, here I am doing the post game show, and then Monday, you know, I'm doing my Lakers talk. Everybody on the lineup as well, just excited about, man, this was a signature weekend for the Lakers. But you know what's crazy? Right. When you actually put it that way, all this stuff was already in motion, right? And what I'm talking about is maybe it wasn't in motion from a sports perspective. Maybe it wasn't in motion from, you know, maybe the news wasn't covering it as they were covering it, but maybe not to this extent. But during all those games, like, all this stuff is still going on. It was going on in the rest of the world. Obviously, this is a virus that, you know, they're just starting to learn more about and having the ability to detect it. That is kind of a trip that all that was going on, and we have kind of, in a sense, no idea.
Yeah, you know, no idea at all, right? You know, I'm watching my alma mater last Saturday, San Diego State. You already know, shout out to our Aztecs. But, you know, they lost in a conference championship game, and, you know, I'm setting my sights on, okay, in about a week we'll find out what region they're going to and, you know, going to go see them play possibly. And so at that time, it's just still, we were kind of, I mean, it's kind of crazy to say, but when you're in that sports bubble like we're in, you know, like, Al, I don't think we listen to what's going on the outside. Like, we're in our sports bubble,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, we're focused on the teams that we cover. We're focused on other sports. And, you know, until it affects us, it affects us. But until then, we're just going to focus on what we've been doing. Because sports has always been what? It's been our outlet.
Mm-hmm.
It's been our getaway, right? It's been our, you know, getting away from politics, getting away from, you know, the elections, getting away from what's going on in the world. Like, sports has always been everyone's outlet, you know, where I'm not thinking about anything else. And finally, we saw that that was not going to be the case, that finally the outside the sports world was now about to enter into the sports world. But I just didn't think it was going to have the effect like this. I didn't think it was going to have the effect of cancellations of so many events, right? I mean, from, you know, professional sports leagues suspending or canceling seasons. I feel for all the college student athletes, man. I feel for the high school athletes. I mean, I'm not trying to brag, but, you know, I have, you know, my high school, you know, my alma mater was one win away. They were going to play last night. They were one win away
from
playing against Sierra Canyon. And LeBron James' son, Bronny Jr., LeBron James Jr., for the state title in Sacramento on Saturday. All those kids who are working to get to this point, you know, just no longer. Their season's over. You know, and I just feel, you know, for those kids and things like that. But at the other side, we can't just be insensitive to what is going on in our country and that we are in, you know, a situation. But I think, you know, that's the hard part too, because I think, you know, 6 months ago, 7, 8 months ago, how long these kids have been working, and players and athletes, all of that, you know, they worked so hard, and to see it all end this way in something that they can't control, that's the hard part for a lot of people.
No, listen, that's a good perspective, because when you explain it that way, you personalize it, right? You're talking about, okay, that was my high school, this is who they're going to go up against. Or you mentioned the Aztecs, and man, where are they going to be on Selection Sunday? Or the college right. players that aren't going to get that opportunity now to play in March Madness. I'm just using those as examples.
Correct, yeah, absolutely.
But it personalizes it a little bit more, rather than just this breaking, shocking news where we were just kind of hit left and right over the last couple of days. It makes you kind of take a little bit of a step back. And you know, when you mention sports as an outlet, I was talking about this on the show. I'm like, listen, I know there's a lot of times where you guys are tuning into sports to get away from all the other stuff, but it's so right. intertwined, it's impossible.
Yes.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
This,
it's
this
like,
one's different. Yeah, this thing's different. It's intertwined because of the ramifications of just of being there or being at a sporting event and what may happen to you. You can't go anywhere, right? I mean, you've seen it. I mean, I've braced going to Costco and Target and Whole Foods and Trader Joe's over the last, honestly, week and a half. And I've really stayed, oh my God, I really stay stocked up regardless, mm-hmm. Alan. So mm-hmm. I wasn't really into the craze of masses trying to grab all the toilet paper I can see. But you just kind of see, like, it just really hits home, like, really what's going on throughout our country, right? And we talk about the sports as being the outlet, but yet, like, I haven't had a chance to even think about sports anymore, right? For all the people who are looking for the outlet, that is now gone. And now you think about just the schools closing, like, mm-hmm. If you didn't know if this was real before, you really understand what it's real. And I think, I believe, who was it? Oh, I saw a wide receiver today, Willie Snead, the wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens. And he put out a tweet. And, you know, sometimes tweets get glossed over, but this one just happened to pass through my timeline. And he said, with so much going on with our country with the coronavirus right now, so many cancellations, things like that, it really may be a wake up for a lot of us to really reset our minds, reset who we are as Americans, reset who we are as people. You know, now there's going to be time that you're going to have to spend with, you know, your families, mm-hmm. right? Work may not be an option for you. This just, even though it's a crisis kind of almost going on right now, there are still some things that we can find and take some positives from what's going on, because, you know, obviously this all has our attention. And what do you do with the attention? So I think that's where I've kind of moved my focus to now. You know, Alan, I really have, is just moved my focus to what can I do, right? What can I do for myself, my family? How else can I help out? What can I do? Because this is almost like a time in which we're not covering any teams. There is no news about sports, right? There is none, pretty much. I mean, when you check your Twitter feed or anything else, or you're watching, it's, okay, what else got canceled? So it's, you know,
that's the right. But listen, it's the right approach. I mean, what you're saying, yeah. that's the right thing to do. I was mentioning it about maybe over the last 15, 20 minutes. I was talking about, okay, here are some positives that come out. Some of the positives are, you got some players stepping up right now. Blake Griffin,
correct.
Kevin Love, Giannis mm-hmm. Antetokounmpo, Zion Williamson. You have some owners mm-hmm. right now. The Dallas Mavericks, the Atlanta Hawks, the Golden State Warriors, the Lakers, the Clippers, the LA Kings. You got people doing things that they don't have to do. I'm not saying that they shouldn't. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be expected. They don't have to do certain things, and they're doing the right thing when it comes to trying to take care of some of their employees that are obviously going to be out of a job for the next minimum 30 days. And I think you and I would be shocked if anything's going on in the next 60 days or so. Those are some of the positives that are coming out.
Yeah, I mean, it's some good, right? We're seeing the good part. Where the sports world can kind of help and lean their hand to just your average everyday American, right? And I think that's kind of, you know, now where it's changed to, where so many times we look up to our sports heroes, our athletes and owners and teams, and now to see them now turn it around and now, you know, go back to the people who have helped them, you know, the people who we don't get a chance to see their names on the scoreboard every night. But they have been very much a part of everything that we do, or, you know, athletes do every single night. So you know, that's the cool part. You know, meant to tell you, like, to kind of put another thing kind of in perspective is, mm-hmm. you know, trying to tell my 5-year-old that Disneyland is closed. Like, he doesn't understand, like, why is it closed? And I'm saying Disneyland is closed because of coronavirus. And he's looking at me like he has no idea. But why is it closed? And I was like, well, we don't want people to get sick or spread germs. He was like, why? Who has the germs? And it's just, you know, it just kind of, for me, puts it, you know, just to try to explain it to a kid, to a child, especially now with LAUSD out over the next, you know, 2 weeks, you know, it's going to be big, man. It's going to be, this is something different that we haven't seen before. This isn't spring break. This isn't summer break. You know, we're in the middle of a school year, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of families and people who will have to make some sacrifice over the next couple of weeks as we figure out how to get this thing contained in our country.
You know, Kirk, when you mentioned right there, you talked about you trying to explain it to your son, and your son saying, like, Dad, what are you talking about, right? Imagine somebody trying to explain this to you 2 months ago. You know, 2 months ago, if somebody came to you and said, this is what's going on, there's this, I mean, you'd be as confused as your 5-year-old is today. I mean, that's right. why I think this is kind of a big part of it as well. It's that, you know, we don't have a blueprint for it, so we've never gone through it before. So we're kind of all figuring it out on the fly. And I'm talking about everybody. And I'm not
everybody.
This isn't just LA. This isn't just California. The world is literally trying to figure this out as we go. We're figuring it out on the fly. And, you know, that's kind of part of this where it's, you know, in a way it's, I want to kind of make sure I use the right word, but it's interesting maybe is the best way to put it, because you have no idea what tomorrow holds. You have no idea kind of where this goes. You know, like I mentioned and like you mentioned right there, it could be an opportunity to just find good things to do.
Yeah, it really is. You know, tomorrow is not promised. You know, and you mentioned the high school and the college athletes. You know, I think about Vince Carter, you know, a 22-year career in the NBA, and basically his career ended the other night.
That's right.
Just because they canceled the season. You know what I mean? Coaches always have that cliche, you play as if it's your last game or if it's your last play. And it really has put a lot in perspective, you know. You know, I think 3 weeks ago we were talking about the eighth spot in the Western Conference, right, between, like, Memphis and Portland and San Antonio.
We're going to play the Pelicans, the Kings, you know.
Yeah,
like,
the Pelicans. I mean, you got all of these people. Like, it's, like, crazy. And then all of a sudden, the Memphis Grizzlies, right, if they have the playoffs, they're going to start at some point. Right? Mm-hmm. I think they will find a way. And I think it was pretty interesting hearing a lot of people have a – just, you know, what can they do with the playoffs? Like, this year is kind of similar, not a little bit, because I was, you know, I was part of the, you know, the lockout of the NFL. And
that's right.
It didn't affect, you know, regular season games. But I remember the NBA, they played a 66-game season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Miami Heat won that. And we never, you know, we don't question LeBron James and say, oh, that was the one with the asterisk. It was, no, they won the NBA Finals that year in a 66-game season. This could be similar because they're going to have a playoff run, or a playoff, I should say. But to see, like, Memphis get in now as the 8th seed possibly, and, you know, for them doing great work throughout the season and not having to worry about what's going on down the stretch, it's just some things that are, you know, for me, that just says you can't worry about tomorrow,
yeah.
Right? You worry about today. You know what I mean? And they've won today, and we're going to see what that, you know, holds for a lot of people. But if that's one thing that this thing has taught me so far, is, man, cherish the day, win the day always, and never worry about, well, we got time. Sometimes you don't have time.
Kirk Morrison, part of the 710 ESPN crew, also the co-host of Rams pre- and post-game. Kirk, I've got to ask you get into some of this NFL stuff. So I know the owner annual meeting is canceled.
Correct.
The draft is staying for April 23rd in Vegas. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, I think the draft can stay. It's just all about just the fan participation. You know, what is that going to look like? If the NFL can always hold a draft, right? I mean, I've watched and I don't know why I'm admitting this, but I've watched pieces of an MLB draft, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they don't have this big auditorium with fans in there. Like, no, it's just they basically call up on the phone and, hey, this is who they're drafting.
It's a show.
Basically, they hold up a jersey. Yeah.
It's a show in the NFL.
Literally, it happens. Mm-hmm. So I think, but the NFL, this is their off-season crown jewel,
yep.
Right? The regular season, we know, is always the Super Bowl. That's the culmination. That is the big event. But the second biggest event we know is the NFL draft. That's why it moves from city to city. And this was supposed to be unveiling in Vegas and things like that. And I really believe they're just trying to hold off until April to where they really have to make a strong decision on what to do about it. Because a lot went into Las Vegas. I mean, they've been putting a lot of time into it. The Raiders have put a lot of time into it as well as being the whole city. But it is going to be difficult for the NFL to kind of keep with the tradition of having fans participate, be in the crowd, giving us that, just giving us that feel as if we're at a big, big sporting event. So it's going to be a little bit different, I think, on how the NFL does it. But when you cancel the meetings, that's the first part to it.
You know, you say it right there, Kirk. So you think that April 23rd will happen. It will still happen in Las Vegas, and you just don't think there.
Correct.
Obviously, there's not going to be any audience there.
Yeah, I think it may not be an audience there.
It sounds like that's how that's the only way it would get done. Like I don't even think even if they, I don't know what the state or what some of the rules are specifically in Vegas, but I just have to imagine it's similar to everything else that's trickled down.
Yeah, but I think also too, you can still have your analysts up there. You have your Adam Schefters and
yep.
Chris Mortensens and all those guys and. You could still have them at a desk. You could still have them. You could still have the draft, but it just won't be the fan participation, right? Mm-hmm. You may not even have the players there. So it'll be a lot of things of, players in their own homes, having their own parties. We won't get the traditional walk across the stage, shake hands with the commissioner, hold up a jersey. I'm just kind of just thinking in my head out loud a little bit, but I think the NFL are thinking about those, right? The television partners are thinking about
yeah.
that because this is huge. But I think we'll always remember this year of the draft because we probably won't see it this way again, right? I think we'll have the traditional how we have been doing it, but this is going to be one where it'll be a little bit different, and we all know why.
Kirk, so free agency, that's kind of been the conversation. If there's one conversation people are having in sports that are just kind of more about the sports thing, it is the free agency part. So free agency next week, March 18th, 1 p.m. Pacific, that's when free agency starts. I'm imagining here, so that's just going as planned. That this isn't an event. You don't need to obviously get for all the events that have been canceled. Free agency is not an event. This is happening on March 18th, correct?
No, I'm not so sure. I'm a wait and see approach with that one as well, because I think Sunday you're going to have to figure it out in the NFL. Because the one thing about free agency, Alan, is that you have to bring in guys to your facility.
That's right.
And have to pass a physical. How are you going to pass a physical if guys aren't available to travel? The NFL has kind of restricted travel right now. We've seen a lot of teams pull their scouts and coaches from off the draft recruiting trail. And so what does that look like if, for just say, hey, the LA Chargers decide to, hey, we want to sign Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Tom Brady has to come in and take a physical. Mm-hmm. And right now, a lot of teams have shut down their facilities. And we're talking about within a week of, the whole country,
shutting down.
The cancellations.
Yeah.
Shutting down. So there's a lot that's being talked behind closed doors. I wouldn't be surprised, Alan, if we get to Monday and they delay free agency for
yep.
about a couple weeks. Where we still have the CBA vote that's due tomorrow, that you have a decision by tomorrow on what the current active players decided. So there's a lot for this weekend. So there is a lot. For it not to be games, the NFL has kind of been moving along with their offseason because it's not about the games in the offseason for them. This is just more or less checking boxes, and they can do that even with what's going on in our country.
Yeah, that's fascinating when you explain that. I've almost assumed, because I haven't heard anything from the NFL other than the things that I mentioned, the owner annual meeting canceled, draft they still may do on April 23rd, but the free agency part, that's like been the only sports conversation that has been going on aside from the canceling of all the leagues and everything else. But you're 100% right. By the way, teams that are going to go make pitches to free agents, don't they usually visit they usually go to their homes or whatever the case is. I mean, I have to imagine all that stuff comes to a halt as well until everything gets figured out.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it was, Rex Ryan was outside the door of, I think, Bart Scott, I believe, or one of his players. I forget. He's like, we need you. He's going to stand outside like the night that they were allowed to go talk with players. So a lot of that probably won't happen. And I think to kind of put it in perspective is, if you want a car, you want to buy a new car, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would want to go check it out and you want to go test drive it. No one just sees and says, I want that car, and you buy it sight unseen. Like, no, I want to know what I'm getting, and I want to make sure it passes, you know, all of its diagnostics. That's kind of where free agency is going to be next week if nothing changes by Sunday, is that a lot of teams have to make some decisions on guys that, you know, they don't know their health, how they left the other teams. There's some HIPAA stuff that goes into it. There's a lot. So it'll be an interesting next week. You know, we'll have more clarity next week. And, you know, if there's a CBA, then there's going to be more money in the pot. And if there's no new CBA, then there's less money in the pot. And so now teams may be more inclined to do more dealing, I would say. Less big contracts and trying to trade and get more draft picks.
Kirk, isn't it kind of weird when we're talking about the actual sports part? Isn't it kind of weird to be talking about it? You know what I'm talking about? Like for me personally, the sports part of things took obviously an incredible backseat. And when you're kind of going back and forth on the CBA and free agency, it's, man, how quick things have changed. It's just crazy how quick everything changed, you know?
Yeah, it just changed. I mean, literally like a drop of a hat. You know what I mean? Like, whoa. And you're like, okay, now this is happening. How do we do this? You know, I'm getting text messages now. Like a lot of the things that we were rolling out as a member of the former player union. A lot of things have been canceled. You know, I was supposed to be in Arizona this weekend for my spring training tour. I canceled that. Supposed to be an officiating academy next week. That's been canceled through the NFL. So it's just like, just so much is like has changed, you know, in the last couple of weeks. And now, you know, still uncertainty with what the NFL and how they'll conduct their business in the off season. But even still, at least they're in the off season where you have Major League Baseball trying to figure it out with the start of their season and the NBA basically suspending their regular season already and trying to figure out how do they have a playoff. This is a trying times, but you know, this is where I think a lot of people are going to lean on, you know, the right decisions being made by these league commissioners, and hopefully, you know, things will be up and running in the next month or so.
Kirk, we appreciate you taking some time, man. I know you got the fam, you're doing your thing on the weekend, but thank you for doing this and sharing your thoughts on everything going on.
All good, Alan, man. Good to talk to you.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Have a good rest of your weekend. That's Kirk Morrison right there. I'm going to stay on the NFL stuff real quick because we got a couple guys that were Field Yates talking about the NFL continuing as planned. Actually, you know, when Kirk mentions it like that, how is it possible that the NFL would figure out free agency? Dan Graziano, ESPN Insider, also talking about the NFL. So we'll talk about that coming up next. If you guys want to be a part of the Sliwa Show, 877-710-ESPN. I know a few callers want to hit on a couple topics, so I'll take your calls when we come back. Stay right here, Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.